Grayson Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn. The National Guard is assisting ICE agents making immigration arrests in L.A. According to the Department of Homeland Security, troops are providing protection for federal law enforcement officers as they continue their operations. Tom Waite is with CBS News, Los Angeles.
They're coming in from all directions, north, south, east, and west. They are coming in with different... horses, the mounted unit here, and not allowing any sort of, they've got their less than lethal weapons here and ready to take action.
A curfew is in effect through 6 a.m. local time. California Governor Gavin Newsom blasted President Trump for sending in troops to try to put an end to the unrest, saying he chose theatrics over safety.
This moment we have feared has arrived. He's taking a wrecking ball. A wrecking ball to our founding fathers' historic project. Three co-equal branches of independent government.
Demonstrations against the Trump administration's immigration raids are also taking place in other cities across the country. Thousands gathered in Chicago.
This goes beyond racism. This goes beyond xenophobia. This is anti-human.
In Austin, Texas, what started as a peaceful protest became more contentious. Police Chief Lisa Davis says they will not tolerate that.
When that protest turns violent, when it turns to throwing rocks, throwing bottles at officers, at other members of the public and community, that will not be tolerated. Arrests will be made.
Protests are expected this weekend in the nation's capital as well, taking place during the big military parade the president is hosting. CBS's Linda Kenyon reports hundreds of thousands are expected to attend the parade.
President Trump says the parade, which also takes place on his 79th birthday, will be a celebration of the Allied victory during World War II.
We won the war. And we're the only country that didn't celebrate it.
The military parade, which coincides with the 250th anniversary of the U.S. Army, will feature hundreds of military vehicles, including tanks and aircraft.
The dream of home ownership is fading for millions of Americans.
The National Association of Realtors says 24% of home sales last year were by first-time homebuyers, down from 50% in 2010. Jessica Louts is the association's deputy chief economist.
And if they can get in, they're doing so with inheritance, they're doing so with mom and dad's money. Their age is the highest we've ever seen. They're nearly 40.
She says younger Americans are struggling with inflation, student loan payments, and a lack of affordable homes. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Brewers beat the Braves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers and Braves series wrapping up today in Milwaukee. A recap tonight. Last night, the crew with a 4-1 win over Atlanta, thanks to home runs from Jake Bowers, Jackson Chourio, and six solid innings pitched by 24-year-old right-hander Quinn Priester.
The cutter, you know, at the top was really good today, and, you know, having that confidence in that pitch gave me some confidence. I was able to execute more often than not.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
You know, that kid has just been getting better and better, and it's credit to the front office for really picking this kid out specifically, saying we got a chance. And I remember like 3 weeks before we got him, they've done their research, and it's great to see it happen.
NFL day two of the Packers mini camp in Green Bay. Now that Jair Alexander has been released, the team taking a look at wide receiver Bo Melton as a possible defensive back in practice. In golf, Division I state high school golf tournament in Madison, Peyton Elbers, a junior from Wanakee, the winner after a three-hole playoff. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll have to contend with areas of smoke here over the next 24 hours. We will have mostly clear skies overhead in the overnight and temperatures in the upper 50s to lower 60s, a southerly breeze developing. Wednesday, a few showers, highs in the middle 70s. It's 60 at our studios.
Chihuahua.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome our pal and Key & Peele writer Rich Tallarico and Up North News editor Christina Laurie, and I talk fun Wisconsin stories. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Chihuahua. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our fantastic producer-engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big program here on this Tuesday, June 10th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. From the old world headquarters in downtown Madison, some overcast skies, sun peeking through here and there. Still that Canadian wildfire smoke in the air, breathing breath. What do they call it? Health advisories?
Air quality advisory?
That's it. air quality advisory in effect for much of Wisconsin for today. Next, it's going to hang around for a while. So if you say, well, the weather people said it was going to be mostly clear, but it looks hazy. It's not the weather per se. It's the effects of human global warming and the like up in Canada. So be aware of that. Coming up this hour, at the bottom of the hour, this is going to be fun. Brian Van Hooker of Cracked.com has not been on the show for a while. He is back and going to be talking Muppets, the Muppet Show. Da, 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 da. And yes, it was aimed in the start of Sesame Street. Much of that, of course, was aimed at kids. But the Muppet Show, and this was the genius of the Muppets, in my opinion. The Muppet Show, while certainly aimed at kids, they worked in some very, as the kids say today, low-key adult references. They snuck them in. And the Muppets sometimes would hit on the live people guest stars.
And pretty aggressively, it turns out.
And pretty aggressively. And Jim Henson and his crew, they had a little bit of adult humor in them, but they were very careful of how they presented it. So Brian Van Hooker will talk about that. And also, the late, great comedian, actor Rodney Dangerfield will be on the show. No, not really. Yes, we're bringing in we're going to have a seance at the bottom of the show. No, Brian Van Hooker, the best Please Take My Wife jokes by Rodney Dangerfield, as told by Rodney Dangerfield's wife, Joan. So that'll be a heck of a lot of fun. So looking forward to all of that. We'll try to work in a little bit of a newsy headlines along the way as well. But right now at 8 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock, time for What's Worse? Let's go. This or that,
this or that. Then, of course, the choice is yours.
You can get with this or you can get with that.
Time once again for What's Worse. Nothing to give away, no prize money involved, but it is your chance to have your voice heard across all 11 news, weather, sports stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. No better place to have your business, your services advertised than right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Contact us at civicmedia.us. to find out how you can be one of our fine sponsors, partners. We would love to work with you. Civicmedia.us. All right, here we go now. And as I told Zommers before the show, I didn't even realize this was a thing. And maybe after this segment, maybe Jane Matinier and Greg Bach on their show Matinier on Air 9 till 11, maybe they'll pick this up and use it and say this should not be a thing.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm not sure either. So the category today, let's get to it, pizza. Category, what's worse, Chicago-style pizza, which I'm very familiar with, or Detroit-style pizza? What's worse, Chicago-style pizza or Detroit-style pizza? Zommers, as I was talking to Matt Flynn, by the way, many thanks to Matt Flynn for being on the show today in hour number one. As I was having a great discussion, conversation with our friend Matt Flynn, you were busy dialing up some information, Chicago versus Detroit style pizza. Please share.
Yes. For those of you who are not aware, formerly myself, Chicago style pizza, which like Todd, I'm familiar with, is more of a pie, a very high crust
right.
that forms, I guess you could say, if you take a wheel of cheese and hollow it out, kind of like that, you know, a cylinder right. with the inside hollow, put some cheese in there, a whole lot of sauce and your toppings, but usually cheese on the bottom. So deep dish pizza with a lot of sauce is Chicago-style pizza. Now, Detroit-style pizza, also deep dish, very tall, but the bread is thicker and airier. And it also tends to use, at least original Detroit-style pizza, uses, rather than mozzarella, Wisconsin brick cheese.
Really?
And the sauce, instead of being a soup or a pie filling almost, it is applied in what are called racing stripes. They just
really?
Have like strips of sauce in there. So it's a lot more bread and cheese heavy. And Chicago is a lot more sauce heavy.
Saucier.
Much saucier.
The Chicago pizza is saucier. All right. Thank you. Thank you for that work, Zommers. I did not know this. As Johnny Carson once said, I did not know that. Chicago style pizza or Detroit style pizza? What's worse? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Or you can text us on the Civic Media app, or you can talk to us on YouTube or Facebook or wherever. Tony watching on YouTube says thin crust is worse. Not even close. Well, Tony, that's not really an option.
Do you mean Chicago style?
Yeah.
Because it has thinner crust? I'm going to take that as Chicago style unless I hear otherwise.
So the early voting, Tony saying Chicago style pizza is worse. Chicago-style pizza or Detroit-style pizza? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or text us on the Civic Media app. Again, as Zommers has told us, the Chicago-style pizza is more saucier with red sauce and whatnot, and you get more bread and cheese with a Detroit-style pizza. Brian, up in Green Bay, listening on our great station, WBGW. We're going to do this show live from the Green Bay station on Friday. Join us for that. Brian says Chicago-style pizza is worse. All right. Robert in McFarland, listening on WMDX. Baby, why make me choose? I just love pizza. But Detroit is pizza. Chicago is mostly full of Italian meal. I'm going with Detroit.
So
wow.
I think Robert means Chicago-style is worse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Wow, that's he's very, very. I didn't know people really were this passionate about it. What else? We have Mary Ann listening. Oops, sorry. I'm going to go back to Mary Ann McFarland. Chicago style is worse, and I'm a Chicagoan. All right. Conrad up in Green Bay, perhaps our great producer up there. Going to be talking to him maybe on Friday. Going to be helping us out. Of course, Conrad, the producer of the great show, Pete Schwab's Nightlight every evening from 6 until 8.
But it's Conrad's birthday today.
That's right. Happy birthday to Conrad. Conrad says Detroit is worse because pizza. Where are you going, Zommers? You can go back up.
There's a lot of text. Sorry.
I know. Detroit is worse because pizza always comes down to how good the sauce is. Chicago always has that good sauce. Conrad, I think I'm with you. Again, happy birthday, Conrad. Celebrating his 19th birthday today.
I don't think that's accurate.
But he's just a young, cool dude. All right. AJ in Madison on WMDX says they both suck. Just make a normal pizza. Well, AJ, what's a normal pizza to you? Mary Ann McFarland says I grew up on the south side of Chicago. and we loved thin crust. All right, there you go. Brian in Green Bay on WGBW. When you come up to Green Bay, try Jet's Pizza. It's Detroit style. Oh, great. Well, maybe that's what I'll do. Maybe, well, but Conrad said he likes Chicago better. I was going to say I could order a Detroit-style pizza at Jets for Schwabba and Conrad.
Save me a slice. We'll see if it keeps all over right. The weekend.
Matt Richland's tenor, one of our great UPS drivers, listening to WRCE. Detroit style is worse, but New York style...
Craps.
Craps on both of them. If you can't hold and fold, it's not real pizza. There's a New York guy right there. What else we have? Greg at Genesee Depot, Chicago pizza is worse. Let's go to the phone lines, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Jim in beautiful Brookfield. Jim, I was just through Brookfield. Go to the Brewers game on Sunday. Jim, what's worse, Chicago-style pizza or Detroit-style pizza?
They're both very good, and Chicago is like a pie, truly like a pie, and I agree with Conrad, that sauce is delicious. However, if I had a pick, I'd say Chicago's worse. I like Detroit because their crust is more airy and flaky. Oh. It's not that thick and doughy, and it's known to have that airy crust, but also for baking, you know, making it crispy, the topping, the cheese and the toppings up around, especially around the edges. Mm-hmm. I like a crispy topping with an airy crust. Even though Chicago, like I say, it's a big slice of pie and a really good sauce, but I'd have to take the crispiness anytime.
I appreciate the Jim. You're this is fantastic. I appreciate the education and shout out to the graphics folks here at the show, because the graphic that they have on this on the screen nailed what Jim just said. The toppings are more crispy and crunchy. The crust is more crispy and crunchy than a Chicago style pizza. So thanks for the education, Jim. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, Chicago-style pizza or Detroit-style pizza. What's worse, hang on, Zomers, our very own Jane Matt Nair, God love her, host of the Jane Matt Nair show every morning from 9 until 11, listening in. She has texted me on the bat line. All the hosts have a bat line where we can just call each other. She says, this shouldn't be a question. All pizza is good pizza, except for anchovies. I'm with you on that, Jane. Minnow-free pizza for me. Yes, Jane. That's how they make it. They just go to the local bait shop and get some minnows and put on the pizza. Jane and I are getting ready to go back on the road with Greg if travel is approved.
You got to get different kinds of pizza.
And maybe we'll eat our way through Wisconsin. Maybe that'll be part of the little tour we're planning. Maybe we'll stop at different pizza shops. What do you think, Jane? Where just see who has the best pizza in Wisconsin. What do you have, Summers?
Yes. I forgot one note about the differences between the two pizzas that some people might find important and others won't care at all. Chicago-style pizza tends to be circular. Detroit-style pizza tends to be rectangular.
Oh, that's another important point. Chris, listening in beautiful Janesville, Wisconsin, WMDX, says Giordano's in Chicago is the best. All right. I love these recommendations. Anybody else against Stephen Lodi? Detroit style is worse. I guess that means Chicago is worse. All right. Very good. There's a battle between AJ and Ryan, by the way, on the text line on pizzas here. I think the big takeaway for me in this segment is that I have been educated, because I did not know until right now, this segment, of the true differences between Chicago and Detroit style.
And neither did I.
I don't know that I've ever really had a true Detroit style pizza before.
I don't think I have either, but it sounds really good.
It does.
Especially the way Jim and Brookfield described it with, you know, the airy, doughy, or not doughy, the airy, flakier crust, but with the crispiness that I crave.
Well, I know where I'm going on Friday in Green Bay when I'm up at GBW, a little Jets pizza and try Chicago style. But I'm going to have to buy Conrad a Chicago style pizza for his birthday. I'll take the Detroit style at Jets. Maybe Jets will do both.
Maybe they'll do half and half.
Look, I don't think you can do half and half.
I don't think that's possible.
But, oh, here's a Sue in Franklin. Says wild tomato pizza in Door County is really good. All right. Very good. Love all the suggestions. That's our Zomers. I guess when we come back, we'll wrap it up, give our takes of what's worse and a couple of news headlines. And then we're talking Muppets who hit on humans at the bottom of the hour. Don't go anywhere. It's a Tuesday edition of the Todd Allbull Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
What if it smells terrible?
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off,
and give us a few bucks. Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wfhr.com/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock on Tuesday, June 10th. Wrapping up today's edition of What's Worse, Chicago-style pizza or Detroit-style pizza. Caller texted in and says, both are delicious. Two different beasts. Chicago crust is made with cornmeal and laminated with butter. Detroit-style crust is more traditional, but pushes those cubes of brick cheese and mozzarella to make those little black crispy bits. Wow. Goes on to say, make them both and love them equally. Now, there is a connoisseur of pizza. That's fantastic. Zomers, Chicago, or Detroit-style pizza? What's worse?
See, I am going to have to go with Chicago-style being worse. Not because it's bad. By any stretch of the imagination. I agree. Most, if not all, pizza is good pizza. And I think when done well, both of these styles are amazing. But I think that when done poorly, Chicago style becomes soup. And when done poorly, Detroit style is just kind of mediocre. So I'm going to say that Chicago style is worse because it has the potential to be far worse.
I like the fact that you had really good rationale for that. It wasn't just a cheap shot. That was actually very, very good. I was going to agree with our friend Jane Matinere, that the question shouldn't be a thing because all pizza is good. But the way that you put that, that's a hard argument for me to go against. So I'll agree with you. If I had to choose one today, based on what Zomer said, a poorly prepared Chicago pizza may in fact be worse. But really, in effect, all pizza is great.
Radio host destroyed with facts and logic. No, I'm just kidding.
We're going to have Brian Van Hooker here on after the break, talking some goofy nonsense about Muppets and Rodney Dangerfield. But I want to get back to a couple of things here in the few minutes we have left in this half hour. Elizabeth Warren, U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren, had a couple of, had four really great points about being distracted. Not that things in L.A. aren't important right now, Los Angeles, but that we can't lose sight of what's important in D.C. And she lists four what she calls dangerous provisions in Trump's reconciliation bill right now, such as defunding Planned Parenthood, which I talked about on with Jane and Greg on Matt and Aaron Air this morning. Also slashing taxes and restriction on purchasing gun silencers, making it easier for criminals to gain access to them and ensuring our society is less safe. Number three, barring states from regulating artificial intelligence. Number four, stopping courts from holding Trump officials in contempt for ignoring court orders, gutting their ability to ensure Trump follows the law. I think those are important things. We're going to talk more about those as the week progresses, but I think it's important not to lose sight of what's happening on the East Coast of this country as well. I want to play this. Came across this cut because, again, I think that too often we, it's on television, whatever. It becomes a game almost. And this is a really good reminder that there are real people's lives being affected in Los Angeles. Here is the superintendent of the Los Angeles Public School District holding a press conference yesterday on what this situation in Los Angeles means to him.
I want to confess to you, for those of you who may not know, I would be a hypocrite if I did not fight for those who today are facing conditions that over 40 years I faced as an undocumented migrant to this country. I want to repeat that. I would be the biggest hypocrite in the world, regardless of my position today, if today I did not fight for those who find themselves in the same predicament I faced over 40 years ago when I arrived in this country at the age of 17 as an undocumented immigrant. Education made me and saved me. I became a teacher, a principal, a superintendent leading the nation's largest districts, four times selected as National Superintendent of the Year. Do not underestimate the power of the immigrant child who may very well become an adult who does well and good by America. If I come across with a certain degree of contempt and anger, I am, because Monday, actions were taken in this community that have no place in our city, in our state, or across America. I'm still mystified as to how a first, second, third, fourth, or sixth grader would pose any type of risk to the national security of our nation that would require Homeland Security to deploy its agents to two elementary schools.
Los Angeles Unified School District Superintendent Alberto M. Calvero, which I thought was the most poignant thing I've heard about this entire situation so far, saying, look, I was one of those undocumented kids. And because I was given a chance in this country and because I received a public education, I'm now leading the education in Los Angeles as a citizen. And why in God's name is the federal government of this country targeting grade school kids? Trump promised to go after, in his words, the murderers and rapists, unquote. There's no justification for going after kids. It's cruel and unusual punishment. And these kids in L.A. are the pawns for Trump's political relevance. And God bless Alberto Calvero for calling that out in a calm way, respectful way, but poignant way. We need more leaders like that in this country. So spare me the indignation and name-calling by people in this country, in this state, that just want to classify everybody of a certain skin color or origin as, well, they're the bad people. Alberto Calvero is proof that when given a chance, regardless of where you are born, you can make something and contribute. Back after this is the All Ball Show in Civic Media.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. The mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass, has enacted a curfew in parts of the downtown area where protests have been concentrated the past few days.
Some of the imagery of the protests and the violence gives the appearance as though this is a citywide crisis, and it is not.
While at Fort Bragg in North Carolina Tuesday, President Trump addressed his decision to send in troops to help stop the unrest.
And some of the radical left, they say, oh, that's not nice. Well, if we didn't do it, there wouldn't be a Los Angeles. It'd be burning today, just like their houses were burning a number of months ago.
CBS's Linda Kenyon tells us a massive military parade taking place this Saturday in Washington, D.C.
will feature hundreds of military vehicles, including tanks and aircraft. It's estimated the parade will cost more than $40 million and another $16 million to repair the D.C. streets afterward.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
The Brewers beat the Braves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers and Braves series wrapping up today in Milwaukee. A recap tonight. Last night, the crew with a 4-1 win over Atlanta, thanks to home runs from Jake Bowers, Jackson Chourio, and six solid innings pitched by 24-year-old right-hander Quinn Priester.
The cutter, you know, at the top was really good today. And, you know, having that confidence in that pitch gave me some confidence. I was able to execute more often than not.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
You know, the kid has just been getting better and better. And it's credit to the front office for really picking this kid out specifically, saying we got a chance. I remember like 3 weeks before we got him, they've done their research, and it's great to see it happen.
NFL day two of the Packers mini camp in Green Bay. Now that Jaire Alexander's been released, the team taking a look at wide receiver Bo Melton as a possible defensive back in practice. In golf, Division I State High School Golf Tournament in Madison, Peyton Elbers, a junior from Wanakee, the winner after a three-hole playoff. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. God has apparently taken a break from helping athletes win games and is focused on Hollywood. According to the Crazy Town Tribune, comedian actress Roseanne Barr is claiming God is the one who told her to send a racist tweet in 2018 that ended up getting her fired from The Conners, which was a reboot of her previous show, Roseanne. Barr says God, by telling her to tweet, helped her wake up, enabling her to be fired from The Conners because she was having nightmares about the show. So God wanted her to send a racist tweet. God still apparently made The Conners quite successful without her, which is odd. If you're like me, you're wondering what exactly is God's angle here, as the Supreme Being remained pretty hands-off when it came to other sitcoms like Seinfeld or Modern Family. Barr also admitted to being on a mixture of Ambien and alcohol on the night of the tweet, which probably made it a little harder for God to wake her. Folks, apologies are out, and nowadays it's about the double down, and this is one of the most convoluted I've ever seen. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll have to contend with areas of smoke here over the next 24 hours. We will have mostly clear skies overhead in the overnight and temperatures in the upper 50s to lower 60s, a southerly breeze developing. Wednesday, a few showers, highs in the middle 70s. It's 60 at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app, Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Pat Kreitlow, Trigvi Olsen join us for a Wednesday roundtable, along with Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area for his new take on Governor Evers. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's the Muppet Show, with tonight's guest star, Mr. Joel Gray.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock. That is the iconic open of the long-running Muppet Show. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe it was on ABC, if I remember right, although I could be wrong. But for those of us of a certain age who grew up on the Muppets, first on Sesame Street and then on the Muppet Show, and then in the subsequent Muppet movies, nothing better than the Muppets. And it was they were created in large part by Jim Henson, of course, the late, great Jim Henson, who was taken all too soon by cancer. But the iconic, the legacy of the Muppets lives on. And so Brian Van Hooker, the talented person that he is, has written a couple of articles in Cracked.com, one entitled 10 times the Muppet Show hosts were relentlessly hit on by the puppets. And this, as we said earlier in the show, this is one of those things where it was predominantly for kids. Of course, lots of great lessons learned for kids on Sesame Street. But once they transferred over into prime time, it was still a lot of it aimed at kids. But they were so, the writers were so great, and Jim Henson and Frank Oz and the other puppeteers were so talented at ad-libbing that they would kind of throw in little lines now and again that would go over the kid's head, but the adults got. And it was really, really funny. And part of the funniness of it was that they never said the really overt, dirty joke. It was just the insinuation that only an adult would get. And it was so well done that it made it really, really super funny. Zomers, you're too young to remember, you said, but you've seen the Muppets, obviously, but you were born after the show aired.
Yeah, I've still gone back and watched some, but I should watch more because what I have seen is really good. It's just...
Yeah, it's really fantastic. We're expecting Brian Van Hooker from Cracked.com to make an appearance. He could be tied up. He could be tied up. So we'll vamp for a little
Hopefully
while.
Not literally.
Wouldn't that be something? Would that be something if he was literally tied up somewhere inside the literally media headquarters somewhere? But no, for my money, lots of times Miss Piggy, who was actually portrayed, I guess, or the puppeteer was Frank Oz, the same puppeteer that did Yoda,
an absolute legend.
Yes. And he's still going.
I don't think so. Hold on.
Frank Oz? I thought he was still alive.
I'm pretty sure he's dead. Let me look.
No. All right, here's a live edition of Dead or Alive.
No, he's alive.
Thank you.
I don't know why I thought he was dead.
No, because, I mean, well, it's been a while since the last Star Wars movie came out, but he was still doing Yoda in the last Star Wars movie, that sort of thing. So he has to be, like, maybe in his 80s, you think? 80-ish?
Yeah, he is 81.
There you go. Pretty close. Frank Oz, the great puppeteer, and I would call him an actor, quite frankly, with everything that he does. So so Miss Piggy, she was pretty sultry in some of her things. Fozzie Bear, also, I think, done by Frank Oz, would also get a couple of zingers in there. And occasionally, even though Kermit was kind of the clean-cut Muppet, occasionally he would get one in there as well. And then, of course, you got the band, who, you know, the bands are always a little raunchy. And the Muppet, the band would always get, was it Dr. Electric, I think, was the...
I think that sounds right.
Was the band leader there.
And, of course, Animal.
Animal the drummer, he gets a little crazy as well. So the Muppets oftentimes do get a little sultry there. Well, why don't we just jump into this and we'll see if Mr. Van Hooker. There could have been a terrible, terrible mix-up. I don't think there was, but we hope everything is okay. Let's jump into this at number 10, according to Cracked Magazine, cracked.com. Number 10, where best episode or segment where a Muppet hit on a human, because that was the bit. If you don't remember the show, the Muppets were puppets, but they called Muppets, and then they would have a live person, a real person, be the guest host of the show. And so the live person would interact with the Muppets. So the number 10... Raquel Welch. Kermit introduces Welch as, quote, one of the sexiest ladies alive, unquote.
You want to hear it?
Can we hear it? All right, here we go. Here's Kermit introducing Raquel Welch.
Ladies and particularly gentlemen, here she is, the curvaceous, the tantalizing, the desirable.
Hold it, Chief.
What now?
She's changing her image.
Changing her image?
Yeah, she was just rehearsing Shakespeare.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of cinema's leading dramatic actresses, the very erudite Miss Raquel Welch.
Changes it a little bit. As the thing went on, it said Welch, however, seems much more interested in Fozzie the Bear, who she rubs up and down singing Confide in Me. She also called Fozzie sexy and sex-sational. Before asking him to come up to her dressing room. And those things, I mean, they were kind of said quickly and as an aside. And so it went over the kids' head. But the adults, the moms and dads who were in the room watching, that's why I think adults love the show.
Or even if it didn't go over the kids' head, it right. was, I guess, I feel like it's not that bad. You know, they're right, not describing anything specific.
No.
It's just like, oh, you hot little bear puppy.
Right. No, it's all done in, it's all done in fun and jest. All right, so number 9, according to crack.com, best additions where a Muppet hit on a human was, remember this, they used to have a spinoff of Star Trek, or not a spinoff, but a take on Star Trek, and the entire crew of this ship were pigs. It was called Pigs in Space. And Miss Piggy was part of this, of course. The Swine Trek captain was named Link Hogthrob. Do we have audio for this one? All right, here we go. Here's an edition of Pigs in Space with Swine Trek camp captain Link Hogthrob.
Aren't you Link Hogthrob?
Listen, I'm one of the stars of the show here. Perhaps you've admired me from afar?
Well, I'd really rather admire you from near.
What?
Maybe while we dance?
Actually, I'm not much of a dancer, and tonight's my night to go bowling.
It's the last dance.
It is?
Last dance.
That was Leslie Ann Warren, who I hadn't heard from a long time. She might have passed. I don't know. But that was a great bit was the Pigs in Space. That was a lot of fun. Going through the top 10 episodes of The Muppet Show where Muppets hit on a human guest host, according to cracked.com. Number 8, the leader of the pack, Kermit, and the great Linda Ronstadt. With Linda Ronstadt hosted and Kermit buys her flowers. Here we go.
This does not have the part where I call her flowers, but later on.
All right, very good.
We'll talk about that later, Miss Piggy.
Oh, Kermit, thanks for singing the song for me, even though I know your heart still belongs to Piggy.
Well, you may know that, and Piggy may know that, but the vote's not in yet from the frog.
the vote's not in yet for the frog, and later on calls her a foxy lady, quote unquote. Again, this was the '80s, right? Where, you know, calling somebody a foxy lady, that was pretty provocative, especially for a Muppet.
And at which point Miss Piggy gets so jealous, she locks him in a trunk for most of the rest of the show. Yes.
Speaking of Miss Piggy, at number 7, according to Crack.com, Miss Piggy and the incomparable Roger Moore, who played 007 for a long time, says usually all the flirting in the Muppet Show is welcome, but when James Bond actor Moore hosts, that simply is not the case. Early in the show, Miss Piggy corners Moore and fawns over him while singing On a Slow Boat to China, as he squirms with discomfort and argues that they simply are not meant for each other. And then Miss Piggy insists we can make it work. And then, again, whether or not the actors were always, I don't think they always were in on the bit. That's part of what made it magical, is that the puppeteers would ad lib and put these real humans into kind of uncomfortable places. Here we go.
Roger, silly dear Roger, it can work. Roger, we can make it work, yes.
But I don't want to make it work.
Ah, I love to get you on a slow boat to China.
He's looking very disturbed. And she's just leaning all over him.
Maybe my date will be here any second.
Myself.
The incomparable Miss Piggy, along with Roger Moore there, Slow Boat to China, going through the top 10 scenes of The Muppet Show where Muppets have hit on humans, according to Cracked.com. Remember the Brady Bunch, those of us of a certain age, grew up on the Brady Bunch or the reruns thereof on places like TNT or whatnot. The great Florence Henderson, a great actor in her own right, did a bunch of Wesson oil commercials, lots of infomercials late in her life. Anyway, played the mom on the Brady Bunch. She was a guest a few times on the Muppet Show. And in one episode, the lovable monster Sweetums tells the Brady Bunch's Henderson that he could really fall for her before he literally falls. Here we go.
Although this clip is from the next part where Kermit is hitting on her so much during an interview that Miss Piggy bites her.
Here we go.
Your eyes are like two limpid pools.
Oh, that's very sweet, Kermit.
And when I look into your eyes, I'm spellbound. Oh. And when I look into those eyes, I see...
Come on, tell me what you see.
I see trouble.
While the pig's away, the frog will play.
Hi, Piggy.
Don't hi, Piggy, me, you frog stealer.
Piggy, you have it all wrong there, you see.
In a pig's eye. I mean, in a person's eye.
Yes, you do have it wrong, Piggy.
Oh?
Yes, Kermit was just practicing on me what he really wants to say to you.
What?
Oh, you mean it?
No.
Oh, Kermit. My love. My love. My life. Oh, I am like putty in your hands. Putty.
Simit.
Miss Piggy, along with Kermit there. And that was with Florence Henderson. And that was always one of the ongoing bits, is that Miss Piggy was desperately in love with Kermit, and he was not so taken with her. It was more of a friendship of convenience that he put up with for a number of years.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, let's do one more here before the break. This is the top 10, according to Cracked.com, episodes where a Muppet hit on a human. Gonzo, one of my favorite Muppets of all time. While Animal, it says, is probably the horniest Muppet, Gonzo is a close second. Not only is he really into dating chickens, but he also has a crush on Miss Piggy early on in the series. However, he gives that up when the great Madeline Kahn shows up. He proposes to her just minutes after they met. Shockingly, he declines. We're going to come back and do that after the break, obviously, here. The music is upon us. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Tuesday. Don't go anywhere. We'll come back and finish up with Pigs in Space and Other Muppets on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a good recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open. We'll tell you something good.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
We need a fun listener name, something the followers of the show can call themselves. I thought, how about Couch Potatoes?
Potatoes?
I said it as a joke, and Todd cracked up. He goes, I love that. Whatever it is, folks, embrace your inner couch potato. We are not meant to work in the farms and hunt food. We were 1,000 years ago. But now, I think God wants us to sit back and be entertained.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock on the top of the hour. ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to. After that, a weather update, sports with our great Mike Clemens, sports reporter, and then the Maggie Dawn Show. And I believe today, filling in for Maggie Dawn, is the founder of the Recombobulation Area and the political editor of Civic Media, our very own recombobulationist, Dan Schaefer, who is filling in for Maggie Dawn, who is filling in for Dan Schaefer, who is filling in for John and Gordy, the morning show guys, who are filling in for Maggie Dawn.
Yes, the circle is complete again.
Yes.
He is also joined by Angela Lang and Matt Rothschild. It's a trifecta.
It's a star-studded show. We should just get off the air right now and make way for them because I think that Dan Schaefer is going to, as Bob Schieffer likes to say, break a little news. Break a little news, Dan Schaefer is coming up. So you don't want to miss it. Dan Schaefer has a great take on Wisconsin politics. Stay tuned for that. And then after the Dan Schaefer show, it's going to be Nightlight with Pete Schwab.
I wonder if they're doing anything fun for Conrad's birthday.
I bet they are.
You'll have to listen to find out.
Absolutely, indeed. So here's some breaking news before we get back to this Muppet nonsense. This apparently is real. And as I like to say, I like to quote Mike Lucas, timely, timely indeed, particularly this month. Aaron Rodgers announces marriage, Dateline Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Pittsburgh Steeler QB Aaron Rodgers got married to more than one thing this offseason, not the game. Rodgers confirmed a press conference he has been married for 2 months. Previously, it was reported that he was engaged to actress Shailene Woodley, but later called off the engagement in 2022. Before that, he dated actress Olivia Munn from 2014 to 2017. Rodgers announced on the Pat McAfee show back in December last year that he was dating a woman named Brittany. He signed with the Steelers on June 6th for just over $13 million. Fascinating. That's all I'll say. Fascinating. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines here. We have Greg from Waukesha. Greg, we're talking about the top 10 scenes of The Muppet Show, according to Crack.com, where humans have hit, or pardon me, where Muppets have hit on humans. What do you got?
Well, I don't necessarily have anything about that, but I did have a friend in high school whose parents named him Gonzo. And yes, no. Todd, that was his real name.
The only place I've ever heard that name used, there used to be an old drama on, it was called Trapper John M.D., which was based loosely on the old MASH series, and it followed Trapper John McIntyre later in life. And one of the doctors on there were nicknamed Gonzo. But this...
No, this was his real name.
Really?
Yes.
That is fascinating. All right, well, thanks, Greg. I appreciate that. Thanks for listening.
Keep banging that drum, Todd.
Hey, yep, thank you, Greg. I appreciate your listenership down there on WAUK in Waukesha. Well, again, our next clip here, speaking of Gonzo, we set it up for you before the break. It is when the great Madeline Kahn, who was on the show a number of times, was there, and Gonzo, a horny Muppet that he was or is, he decided he wanted to marry Ms. Kahn, and he talked to Kermit about it. Here we go.
Kermit, how do I look?
Very nice, Gonzo. What's the big occasion?
Madeline Kahn and I are getting married.
Married?
Yeah, moving out to the suburbs, buying a station wagon, joining the PTA.
He has not asked her.
The whole ball of wax.
Gonzo, you just met Madeline Kahn.
I know. I work fast, Kermit.
I mean, that could have been Aaron Rodgers, apparently. I'm not sure. All right, let's get one more here. This is Animal, the drummer of the band for The Muppet Show, and Rita Moreno on the show. Here's
this one, there's not much to hear.
Oh, really?
I recommend looking it up. Basically, Rita Moreno is singing, Animal's playing the drums. They're doing a song, and I never thought I would use this to describe a Muppet, but the sexual tension between her and Animal is very palpable if you're watching the scene. At one point, she saunters back over to him on the drums and just starts talking to him, and it's just like, calm down, dude. You're going too crazy.
All right. Yeah. So that's more of a visual one. Should we just skip to number one? Do we have a video? All right, or audio for this? This is when Kermit interacted with Juliet Prowse was on the show in apparently the very first episode ever shot for the series, when dancer actress Prowse hosts the show. And, here we go.
Let's just face it, Julie. You know, your average frog doesn't have a lot going for him in the looks department.
Oh, I don't know. I think you're quite attractive.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You're not just saying that because you're a guest.
Well, certainly not. In fact, I'd go as far as to say that you are the Robert Redford of frogs.
Oh, wow. Hey, listen, everybody. Did you hear that? Juliet Prowse thinks I'm the Robert Redford of frogs. Hey, you're going to be coming back on this show a lot. Hey, listen, have you ever kissed Robert Redford?
No, I haven't.
How about kissing the next best thing?
You mean to tell me that Paul Newman is here?
I mean me, the Robert Redford of frogdom.
My pleasure.
Ooh. More! More! Less! Less!
the old men up on the balcony. More, more, less, less. That was great. That was great. Always a good time when we thank the folks at crack.com. We'll get Brian Van Hooker back on when our schedules line up more. Many thanks to Matt Flynn for being on the show today. Also, Mr. Zomers. Tomorrow, going to have Trigvi Olsen, Pat Kreitlow, and Dan Schaefer is going to be on the show talking about the news he is about to break. So don't go anywhere. Dan Schaefer and Angela Lang, Matt Rothschild, are next. You're not going to want to miss it. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging on your drum. We'll see you tomorrow. Keep banging on, banging on your drum. Keep banging on, and your day will come. Keep banging on your drum, and they will hear you. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. I'm Stacy Lynn. For the first time since the 1992 riots, there's a curfew in parts of downtown L.A., where protests have been the past few days. Our coverage begins with KNX radio reporter Craig Figner.
It's a nighttime curfew under an emergency order signed by Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass.
The protests have been limited to about five streets in downtown Los Angeles. And again, that's why it's important to let the people know this is not all of Los Angeles. One square mile compared to 503 square miles.
The downtown Los Angeles overnight curfew will continue for at least a few days.
President Trump deployed thousands of troops from the California National Guard and 700 U.S. Marines to protect federal offices and buildings against the wishes of Governor Gavin Newsom. CBS News immigration reporter Camilo Montoya Galvez has more on that.
The National Guard troops, some of them